Well, greetings, saints of the Lord and friends of the Lord. It's so good and we're so blessed to have this time when we can be together and study the scriptures here on March 25 in the year 2020 of our Lord. What a great, great blessing. We are obviously confined to our places of residence, most of us, I'm certain, and yet we are not isolated from the Lord, and we're really, in the Spirit, we're not isolated from each other. And so we're so blessed that through the wonders of technology, we can at least have these few minutes together to study the scriptures. So let's meet with the Lord just a minute, then in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that as the recipients of your great love, your tireless pursuit of us with grace and mercy, we just want to thank you that we have come to experience real, authentic, divine love, and that we actually can love now because you first loved us. Thank you for bringing light into our dark and dead situations, and giving us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, eternal life, never again to return to the death and darkness from which we've been redeemed. And now, having been brought into the marvelous light of Christ, we ask you to meet with us as we come to study and think about the scriptures together. Be free. Teach us, Lord, by your word and your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Yes. Well, I thought we might spend a few minutes looking at a little paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you could turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to look at the paragraph that begins with verse number 6 and ends with verse number 10. And I'm particularly thinking about verse 7, where it says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And I'd just like to kind of keep that central in our thinking as we talk about this paragraph for a little while. I guess it would be good for us all to be reminded that during the time when Paul wrote this second letter to the church at Corinth, he was facing serious opposition himself, severe, extreme opposition, both from outside the church and from within the church. Paul had some critics and some fairly harsh critics within the church that claimed the things that he was suffering actually proved that he was not an authentic apostle. They were convinced that his suffering proved that he was not a true apostle. And so this, along with other hurtful things, were being said about Paul. And Paul, you might remember, was also experiencing some financial challenges himself. Not only did he have his critics, but not everyone, even in the Christian community, supported him financially. And so here we see this man who is suffering from within and outside the church. And some of you might also remember that Paul was experiencing some physical challenges. He had some health challenges He was, of course, an older man now and experiencing some of the ailments and problems that come with older age. His eyesight was failing him, and we're not told specifically what the full impact of the thorn in the flesh was, but we know that those experiences caused him pain and suffering as well. And so when we come to this paragraph that we're talking about, I want us to notice how Paul honestly acknowledges the deterioration of his body. So if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a little paragraph that begins at verse 16 that really heightens how Paul was acknowledging the deterioration that he was experiencing in his own body. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reads, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Do you feel that? You feel the sense of his just honesty, his transparency as he thinks about the deterioration of his own body, his own mortality is becoming readily apparent to him. And this is just real for all of us, any of us that have moved out of that youthful, vibrant stage, beginning to experience some of the ailments of old and older age, know what he's talking about. But with that as a backdrop, and with that reality, you see that Paul's hope is not determined by his physical abilities, right? His hope is not determined by his inabilities. We can see a pattern developing here already of a man who faces his shortcomings and continues to move forward in hope. So then Paul goes on to give details about his future. And you see, these details about his future are what kept him motivated. These details that we're about to read motivated believers in the first century, and they'll motivate us today. That's the wonderful thing about the truth of God, is that its relevance continues to prove itself over and over and over again. For the word of God is living, right, and active, sharp like a two-edged sword, and it continues to convict. Here we are generations after it was actually recorded, and still convicts and convinces us of our own sin. It teaches us, right? It reproves us. It corrects us, and the word of God is effective in training us in righteousness. So as we continue to progress here, we can see that Paul is going to give us some details about his future that motivated him, and I believe that will certainly motivate us if we have ears to hear. So if you take a look then at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let's read that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. Verse 4. For while we are still in this tent we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And finally, verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So you see his motivation there in that paragraph, verses 1 through 5. He's showing us what really motivates him, even though his body is deteriorating, even though the ailments are limit some of the things that he could do in the past. He still can press on with this motivation that this is just an earthly tent, and that it's just a temporary. So again, we see that the believer should never deny reality, nor does the believer need to deny reality, the reality of pain in this life, the reality of being perplexed in this life, because this is not the end for us. You remember it was the same Paul who in chapter 4 that was honest when he said we are afflicted in every way but not crushed. Remember that in chapter 4 verse 8? Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You see? So he presents this reality, but shows that the reality of pain and hurt and difficulty and opposition never completely destroys the Christian. Though the destruction may be happening in our bodies and other physical aspects of life, the believer himself or herself is never totally destroyed. And that's motivating. That's motivating. We don't have to deny that we're hurting in order to find encouragement. So you see, Paul can honestly use words like, you see the word destroyed there that he uses when speaking of the body. The body may be destroyed. He can say, though we groan, right? We actually groan in this body. He can use words like we're burdened. For while we are still in this tent, we groan being burdened, he says in verse 4. So those words themselves don't discourage Paul, right? He can refer to those words honestly when talking about this life. He can refer to those words honestly when talking about his body. Destroyed. The body is being destroyed. He can speak of the inner and outward groanings that he experiences himself, and the burden that it all can be at times. This life comes with so many burdens that are the consequences of sin, and mortality in and of itself should not be discouraging to us, but we can face it honestly and keep moving forward. Amen. So, with that as his backdrop, we come to our paragraph for our brief study together. So, then if you continue on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we meet the first sentence in our paragraph that we're looking at in our text. And you remember the first sentence there? And verse 6 says, so we are always of good courage. Even with everything that we just talked about, everything that was the backdrop to what he says here in this first sentence. All of that backdrop, he can still say, so then we are always of good courage. Not just him. He's saying that for all of us as Christians, we can all still be of good courage. The point is this. Any believer has the means to be always of good courage. That's what he says. So we are always of good courage. Now, what does that mean? To always be of good courage demands that we have a right perspective based on truth. We must have a right perspective based on truth and not speculation. A right perspective based on truth and not embellishment or simply things that sound good. That is what gives us good courage, when our courage is based on that which is stable and unchanging. And so Paul presents that as an anchor right at the beginning of this paragraph. And then he dives into what I consider the fabric of what I simply want us to speak on for the next few minutes as we try to get our arms around this paragraph. So, every believer then is encouraged by what we know to be true. That's what I want to keep in mind as we unpack this paragraph just a little bit. Every believer is encouraged by what we know to be true. Take a look at the next sentence in verse 6. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. You see how he establishes that? It's what we know to be true that gives us encouragement. We are encouraged by that because it is true. So, I thought about how we might portray this, and I guess I'd like for you to think about a board, if you would, in your mind. Imagine a board. And for those of you that attend Bible study, you know I use a board a lot when I teach, and I like to write and draw. But if you'd imagine a blank board and draw a line down the middle of it, right down the center of the board, so that you'd have a left side or a left column and a right column. And so on the left, in the left column, I'd like for you to think about this. And if you're physically doing this on a piece of paper, just in the left column, write life in the present body, okay? And then in the right column, write life with the Lord, okay? And so what we see Paul contrasting here is life in the present body with life with the Lord, contrasting those two. Listen to it again. We know that while we are at home in the body, that's the left side of the column, we are away from the Lord. That's the right side of the column. So let's just kind of, if you will, kind of graphically keep that in mind. Let's go back to the left side of the column and think about what truths we have here about life in this present body. We are told here that in this present body, we do not physically see the Lord. Okay? So that's on the left side of the column. On the left, in the left column. On the right side of the line, in the right column, life with the Lord, we will physically see the Lord, okay? So you see the two things that are contrasted there. In this life, we do not physically see the Lord. In the life to come, when we will be with the Lord, we will physically see him. Some of you have been studying 1 John with us, and you might have remembered that when we got to 1 John chapter 3, there was that first paragraph was just wonderful, just jam-packed with truth. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And listen at verse 2. Behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Listen to this. Because we shall see him as he is. You get it? So in this present life, we do not physically see the Lord. But in the life to come, we will physically see the Lord. Amen. Back to our chart, real quick. On the left side, in the left column, the present body, in this present body, we live by faith, not sight. So you go back to verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We're back in our paragraph now. Many of you have heard this verse before, but think about it now in the context in which Paul has given it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? That's in this present life, on the left side of the column. On the right side of the column, we would contrast that with we will live by sight, or if you will, live by knowledge in eternal glory. Right now, we live by faith, not by sight, but in eternity, we will live by sight. We will see and know as we are already and fully known. That should bring to mind a great verse in 1 Corinthians 13. You remember that as Paul is finishing up that great chapter on love. In verse 12, he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. There it is. So we will live by faith and sight. Excuse me, we will live by sight and knowledge in eternity. Faith will become a reality. So you got those two contrasts? We live by faith, not sight now, and we will live by sight and knowledge in the future. On the left side of the column, then, what do we have? On the left side of the column, our natural body is home in this present life. On the right side of the column is the resurrected body is home, or the resurrected body will be home, right? On the left side of the column, we're contrasting the natural body, which is home now, to the right side of the column, we're contrasting the resurrected body, which will be home then. On the left side, life in this present body is temporary. On the right column, life with the Lord will be eternal. So hopefully you can get that in your mind, or if you literally wrote it out, let's just rehearse that real quickly. Once again, from verses 6 and 7, we have this little diagram that we talked about, life in the present body contrasted with life with the Lord. Life in the present body, we do not physically see the Lord. Life in eternity with the Lord, we will physically see the Lord. In this present life, we live by faith and not sight. In eternity, we'll live by sight and knowledge. In this present life, the natural body is home. In eternity, the resurrected body will be home. This present life is temporary. Of course, eternal life and glory will be eternal. All right. Well, we're getting near the end of this little paragraph in our Bible study. So now let's just turn our attention to verse number 8. And verse number 8 says, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be at home from the body." Excuse me. Let me read that again. "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." You get it? We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's verse 8. And so, in essence, what is that verse saying to us? Every true believer can honestly say that he or she longs for heaven. He or she longs for eternal glory. And that's what Paul is communicating here, is that he would rather be away from the body. So to be away from this present body then is to be living in eternal glory, to have passed from life as we know it now into the next life. And so that's the honest hope that every true Christian has, regardless of the level of difficulty that we're facing. Even when that difficulty is in your own body, even when you're suffering in your own body, even when the suffering is intense and appears to be relentless, this is still true. Every true believer longs for heaven and eternal glory, even though, as for this time, the Lord has work for me to do here on earth. Okay? And so finally, then we reach the conclusion of this paragraph in verses 9 and 10. And you can hopefully see he begins that with the word "so." After having presented this truth, verse 9 begins with the word "so." "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Here's another word, "because." The word "for," meaning "because." Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Right? So then in essence, he's saying every true believer that longs for heaven, every true believer that longs for eternal glory, will gladly live holy for the Lord. Right? Every true believer, whether at home or away, he says that then the motivation for that is a desire to please God. Why does every believer live holy? Because we desire to please God. So whether we are away, a home, or away, we make it our aim to please him. Whether we are in this life or in eternal life, either side of the column, the objective for any believer, the objective for anyone that loves the Lord is to please him. We want to please him in this life. We most assuredly will please him in the next life. And so that's the motivating principle. That's the thing that motivates and keeps us moving forward. The second point that he makes in verse 10 is the other motivating factor, is that we're grateful for eternal rewards. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. You get it? What he has done in the body. In this life, we will give an account for what we have thought, the things we have said and the things that we have done, whether good or evil, they will be addressed. And so there it is. We're to be of good courage. Be of good courage, even in the most challenging times. And so I hope that as all of us have challenges that we are facing right now, some are more difficult than others. Some have more pain in their bodies than others. Some are experiencing financial difficulties, as Paul mentioned here, and other things, external. But we can be of good courage. Ultimately, every one of us, as a Christian, embraces the reality that we live by faith and not sight now. That faith keeps us moving forward to the great glory that awaits us all. And every Christian can say with Paul, these light momentary afflictions are not worth comparing to the glory that awaits all of us. So my brother, my sister, I hope that as you meditate on this little paragraph, you'll find encouragement in your own heart and in your own life in these troubling times in which we live. We know the truth, and it's that truth that serves as an anchor for us when the world seems to be reeling and rocking and unstable at the very core. You and I have an anchor that holds. It holds through every storm, every difficulty, every problem of life. Our anchor holds in Jesus Christ. Stay strong, my brother, my sister, in the Lord. See you again next time. Only is your word.